Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you today. And, you know, I don't know. It's what a crazy, wacky world that we are a part of when central banks around the world continue to manipulate their currencies. And of course, the currency wars are on. And where is General Custer when you need him? Because I don't know about you, but this could be Custer's last stand. Once again, you know, you have to look and say at some point how much manipulation can we continue to do? How much financial engineering? I didn't know I needed an engineering degree to do this, but how much financial engineering can we possibly deal with? Now, it's interesting how equity markets around the world are basically skyrocketing, you know, after they had the big sell-offs. Now, again, I have nothing wrong with the markets rallying. It's either, you know, they're going to go up, they're going to go down, and usually they go up, you know, over time. But the interesting thing is why are we going up today? What is driving the force? And certainly you would think that if everything was so hunky-dory and we were in such great shape, why the constant need for intervention? Why the constant need for either a rate decrease or a currency printing session, or you know, the battle of the you know, you have the battle of the sexes, you have the battle of the gladiators, now you got the battle of the currencies. Why is every currency trying to go to zero? It's beyond me that we continue to see, and how we got into this most ridiculous situation is also beyond me. I find it challenging to understand the logic. Now, I'm sure one of you out there are very smart and an economist type, and you can explain to me why we do what we do, why the geniuses in charge of this say that it's better to devalue your assets, okay, and create it. I personally, I don't get it. I mean, you know, it's not... It does not ring out to me as something that is logical, that you have to create and stimulate growth by reducing your currency. The formula to me just, it doesn't work. Again, I don't know that I'm right or wrong. This is not something I'm telling you that I'm right at. I'm just telling you that I don't get it. To me, I don't want to devalue my assets. I don't want to take, you know, what's happened and had them continue to slice and dice up my U.S. dollars to make supposedly more sales of exporting and selling more goods, just like they're doing everywhere, to try to bring the money there. It doesn't seem logical. But again, I'm sure somebody out there will explain to me, and I'd love to hear a solid explanation, because for me, it does not make sense. For me, it's a bunch of crap that has been engineered. And of course, as you know, now again, I'm not a gold bug or someone who believes that we should be on the gold standard either. I don't really know. Again, this is a little bit beyond my pay grade as far as the finer workings. But I can tell you what I do know. I do know what the idiots are doing now does not work. That I do know, okay? There's nobody out there who can tell me that what they're doing now actually works. Because I know one thing, that when you have too many people that are dependent worldwide on government money, you're not in good shape. Okay. Now, you're in good shape if you're a politician, you're trying to get elected, then you're in great shape because you continue to buy your own votes. But you cannot, nobody, and I don't care who it, the smartest person in the world could tell me that it's right, and I don't think it's right. I can't justify the actions that are being taken everywhere. I don't see it. To me, it's a total crock of shit that you have these people thinking that, well, if we keep reducing the value, and of course, as we reduce the value, our commodity space is totally getting cracked and crushed once again. We have nobody working, and of course, we have a jobs number this week, and I can't wait to see the celebration this week when we come out with, you know, who knows what they're going to come out with, but whatever it's going to be BS, because the jobs that we're creating are garbage. I mean, are you going to tell me that, we just hired another 100,000 people at Walmart. Yeah, oh, great. Man, that'll get us a long way. You know, and I don't, again, I'm not against the rich or the poor or the minimum wage. I obviously, I'd love everybody to have a nice life and do well. But are we kidding? Do we really think that, you know, think about it this way. You know, and I can't speak for, you know, smaller cities. I can't speak for other parts of the country, but I can speak for a big city, which is Chicago, and I can speak for New York and some of the others. And I can only tell you this, that if you're not making, you know, 50 grand a year, okay, in some of these markets, you can't live. And don't get me wrong, 50 grand is a lot of money, but you can't, I mean, you look at rents, okay, and we have our rent bubble. You know, and you're paying, even if you're paying $1,200 a month for rent, okay? So if you're making 50 grand a year, okay, which is $4,000 a month, you know, 4,200, okay? And you're, so at 4,200, you're taking home, out of that, you're taking home 3,000, okay? And now you got 1,200 rent, so that leaves you 1,800. What about the heat? What about food? What about, you know, What about your kids, if you have kids? What about education? What about gasoline? What about just living in it? What about eat? What about food? But maybe we don't. Maybe with the new financial engineering programs, we don't need any of those things anymore. You know, maybe they figured out a way that we don't have to eat anymore, because that's certainly the direction that I think that they're moving in. I mean, you look at this, and it's got to make you sick to imagine what we're seeing here. Because, again, I just gave you a simple example. And even if you're only paying $800 a month rent, okay? I mean, where, how are you going to live? Where is the money going to come? How are you going to prepare for your future? Okay? But, of course, that's our Federal Reserve. That's our central banks. That's our government at work. But of course, they'll dole out some entitlements and allow you to scrape by. And again, to me, it's a farce. It's so backwards into what could actually make this country better. And of course, the Badger and I did it, talked about it 6 years ago, and we'd be 6 years in, and we would be out of this mess, guaranteed, had they have, you know, not been such greedy people. I gotta always watch myself, but I mean, again, I'm frustrated. I'm tired of it, but you know, it's always great to be here. And you know, I don't know if you've checked out thebubbashow.org lately, but you know, we're now offering a hedging program because, again, I want to be able to help you save your money and make sure that you don't go through that meltdown again. The Badger and I put together a beautiful program to help you out. Go check out thebubbashow.org. Go look at the program. Okay. Again, there's a cost, but you know, check it out. I'm telling you, it's be the best step you ever made for your financial future. But for now, we're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go check out thebubbashow.org and read some of those great articles we write through every day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
Maggie, I think I got something to say.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we're having a great day, and we're watching all kinds of stuff, and of course, there's just news and news and news galore, and things going on, and we look at our government, we look at what's going on, and we look at all the different things, and of course, our friends over at the Bill Whittle Group did a special on Obamacare, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I wanted to share with you part one, which is Obamacare. Can't even say his name. The good. So let's go check it out with Mr. Bill Whittle and friends. Here is Obamacare, the good.
I'm Steve Green, and this is a special three-part trifecta getting you updated on a story we've been covering here since 2009. It's called Obamacare, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, to tell you the truth, I'd sworn off doing even one more Obamacare report after doing so many over the years, but the big headlines, they've been stacking up my browser for weeks now, and it's time, well, it's time to break the embargo. So with me to do just that, Bill Whittle and Scott Ott. Gentlemen, it's not all bad news, believe it or not, for the totally settled law of the land. Although, to be fair, it's probably difficult even in Washington to spend $100 billion a year without some positive result. And here it is. At Mother Jones, Kevin Drum reported on Monday that Obamacare is beating its goal of reducing the number of uninsured, which now stands at a record low 32 million Americans. Bill, that's a decline of more than 10 million uninsured Americans. So, why do you want millions of Americans to lose their coverage that they always needed but have only thanks to Obamacare?
Because people used to pay $330 a month, and now they're paying $1,400 a month. That'd be a place where I would start, for one thing. It's amazing what you can do when you basically do something like that to the American people. Think of all the uninsured people we could be covering if we started paying $6,000 a month in premiums each individual family that was paying $300, $350 before. So let's just start there. Secondly, as somebody who was dropped from my private health care insurance, which I liked, and the doctor, which I liked, which I was told I could keep but I can't keep anymore, let me tell you that you cannot reinstate yourself for insurance until January, not in California anyway. So I got dropped from Blue Cross, and then I had to wait until January 1st to get insurance coverage again through the Obamacare exchange. However, fortunately, I was able to get a stopgap insurance policy that costs three times what my old policy cost, doesn't cover any pre-existing conditions and all the other lies that we were told about this giant, magnificent program. And you can fake these numbers and say what you want to about all of them. But without question, Steve, in terms of the money we spend $1 for health care, we get 33 cents of health care back. It would have been much cheaper, much better, much freer, and much more cost-effective to have bought every single American who wasn't insured a private Cadillac Gold health care program than what this thing is costing the American people, and this nightmare is just getting started.
No, Bill, you just can't take good news. That's your problem. That's not to say there isn't a long way to go. Despite what Bill has you believe, there are still almost 33 million Americans without coverage. That's a big number, 5.5 years after Obamacare was signed into law and 2 years after those exchanges opened for business, where Bill has had such good luck shopping. But there's good news even in the bad news. Of those 33 million, more than half qualify for subsidies on the Obamacare exchanges or could get covered by the big Medicaid expansion included as part of the law. Scott, if conservatives really are caring, if we really care, shouldn't they and you and me, shouldn't we be helping people to sign up for the health care benefits they're already entitled to under the law?
Yeah, it's a darn shame that we haven't heard anything about that. Like, there haven't been any public service announcements or things on the internet or Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or SoundCloud or whatever else, you know, or Zach Galifianakis interviewing the president of the United States between two ferns. There has been so much publicity about this. Here's a free product you can't sell. I mean, what the heck is going on with this? And like Bill Whittle, and I didn't even realize this happened to Bill, but Stephanie and I, my wife and I, both had separate privately purchased health insurance plans, both of which were dropped because of Obamacare. And then when the insurance company said, okay, we can get you this stopgap policy that costs more than the previous policy, who has higher deductibles than the previous policy. And so we got nailed in the same way at that time with. And I can't imagine how many other people went through this. And it's almost as if there needs to be some sort of support group network where we can all get together and sit around in a circle and go, hi, I'm Bill. I was forced into Obamacare.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a disaster on wheels. And if Republicans were compassionate, they'd do everything they can to free people up to make their own health care choices. And like Bill said, we'd be better off to hand out $100 bills in the streets.
That support group should be called a constitutional convention. That's what we should call that support group. And we should go in there and make
Not
this thing
name.
Illegal. Now, I know you're playing devil's advocate here, Steve, and I'm sorry to jump back in again. But look, anything that looks like news for Obamacare is bad news for the country, because what you're basically saying is if these numbers are increasing, if more people are being insured, or the number of uninsured people is going down, you put it any way you want to, it's going down because the law is forcing somebody else to pay for my health care. Right. And it's evil and it's wrong. We have trillions. What's the debt now? $20 trillion. This can't continue. And anytime it looks like it's getting better, it really means it's getting worse.
Bill, my fellow friend of Barry O, there's plenty of bad news buried in the good news. Folks, Kevin Drum cited that CBO study, which Obamacare might be next year. But the CBO fudged its own numbers. Brian Blaze reported for Forbes last week that right up until 4 months ago, when it was obvious Obamacare was never going to reach its goal for next year, the CBO cut its projection in half from 20 million covered to just 10 million. Other organizations like RAND and the Urban Institute thought the number of enrolled would be even higher, 23, 24, 25 million enrollees. Right now, the number stands at 9.1 million covered on the exchanges. And when you discount the 7 or 8 million who are only on the exchanges, like Bill and Scott, because they lost their insurance because of Obamacare, it's clear that virtually all of the increase in coverage is due to the expansion of Medicaid, of welfare. In other words, Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid were only able to increase coverage by expanding welfare to people making four times the poverty level. In other words, Americans will gladly take something for nothing, but they won't buy Obamacare unless they're forced to. And that's the good news. We'll get to the bad and the ugly coming up in our next two reports.
And of course, as they talk tongue-in-cheek a little bit, and you know, again, another disaster created by the Obama administration. I find it interesting that that in his mind and in their mind that they're doing the right things, and we continue to see these disasters. And for those of you who have been involved in healthcare, for those of you who own companies, you know exactly what's going on here, and this is becoming a major, major crisis situation because of the problem, and because all of a sudden, from this wonderful program that was going to take care of us all, and we were all going to be get insured, and it was going to be more efficient and cheaper, and of course, we're finding out that that's not. And of course, this is the problem, again, when you look at where we are and what we've done and how we let big government take over the rights and the pursuits of the individual. You can see that they have done just a brutal job. Unless you are of the very wealthy and you are obviously not as concerned, or if you're entitled, well, the one thing we continue to do is we continue to grow the entitled amount of people, because we are now at 50% of Americans have some sort of public aid that they're receiving. And of course, at what cost does that come? And it comes at the cost in the hard-earned working middle class America. It comes at the cost of taking food and clothing off the backs of middle class America as the economy continues to fail and flail around, because we've got a bunch of momos that have no idea of what to do next, and yet continue to, they do know how to screw up everything, and they do know how to spend money that they don't have. But of course, if we had our own printing presses in our basements, we could do the same thing, which is to continue to make things up and talk about budget and how we have a surplus, although we've got trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. And $4 trillion later, you know, where are we? We're in the crapper. trying to figure a way out. And, of course, that was our friends Bill Whittle and Obamacare the good. We're going to come back after the break with Obamacare the bad with the same crew. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, you know, we've never had a time. We have, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, Obamacare. And there's thoughts that Obamacare is just another slush fund for the Democratic Party. We hear, you know, we see our great leader turning the world into a group of entitled. And you know, we continue to see the wealthy get wealthy and the rich get richer, or the poor and the entitled get more entitled. It's simply amazing as to what we have seen in some of the transformation here. But I wanted to bring in my guy, Bill Whittle, and his crew to talk about their views on Obamacare the bad. Let's go to Mr. Bill Whittle and crew right now.
I'm Steve Green, and this is a special three-part trifecta, getting an update on a story we've been covering here since 2009. The series is called Obamacare, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We looked at the good in part one, which turned out to be not so good. Today, we look at the bad, and goodness, there's plenty to go around on this one, which is why I must call on my lovely and talented co-host to join me. Here they are, Scott Ott and Bill Whittle. Gentlemen, you will struggle mightily to find this report on the nightly news. That's why we have a PJTV. While 33 million Americans still can't afford coverage 5 years after Obamacare was signed into law, and millions more can't afford the copays and the deductibles on the health insurance they've been individually mandated to purchase, Washington has wasted billions on failed or failing insurance co-ops. Now, you might not have heard of these co-ops, but Obamacare set aside $2.5 billion for these cooperatives to compete with traditional health insurance providers for low-cost coverage. And that turned out to be a $2.5 billion, believe it or not, slush fund for Democratic interests. Get this, $340 million of those dollars, yeah, I see your shocked face, Bill, $340 million of those dollars went to an old Obama crony from his Chicago days, Sarah Horowitz, who also heads up a left-wing think tank funded in part by George Soros. Yeah, this all ties together. And the company she set up in New York, the Freelancers Insurance Company, was given that money after it was called the worst insurer for two straight years by New York state regulators. Now, the only reference to this little local news story in the New York Times was a report pinning the blame on increased costs due to Obamacare. That's a pretty nice excuse, wouldn't you say, Scott?
Yeah, these co-ops are collapsing, and it's sad because real people are being hurt by this. You know, federal government, this great monolithic monopoly that sucks in all of our revenue involuntarily on our part, was going to foster diversity and competition and entrepreneurial zeal and innovation and all that kind of stuff. But all they really did was what government does every time it gets in the redistribution business. Government, even if they were geniuses, can't possibly make the best solutions in a dynamic market where millions of decisions are being made every day. And so you've got a handful of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., and remote from the source or the place where the enterprise is happening, who are making the call and saying, yeah, we're going to give money to that one, we're not going to give money to that one. They are not they're not neutral brokers in a market. They can't possibly make those decisions because their decisions are based on political expediency, on their own jobs. It's not based on what's best for customers. And so, you know, if we're gonna solve this, we need to get out of that business. One thing else I want to say is don't confuse the word coverage with the word care. There's a huge difference. And when you hear them touting the coverage numbers, it doesn't mean that anybody's health is improving.
That's right. Coverage is a piece of paper you can fold up and put in your desk. Care is when an actual doctor or nurse takes care of you. Folks, Richard Pollack, who has covered this story better and longer than anybody, I think, he reports that one third of the co-ops have already failed, with Colorado and Oregon being the most recent. American taxpayers are on the hook for $176,000 in guaranteed loans, which were supposed to last for 15 years, but somehow seemed to have vanished into thin air. Well, maybe not quite thin air. Bill, would it shock you? Get your shock face ready again. Would it shock you to learn that in addition to leaving hundreds of thousands of Americans without their health insurance that they paid for, these co-ops paid their executives lavish, off-the-books salaries of anywhere from $341,000 a year to almost $1 million a year?
Government is where the stupid people go, the corrupt people, and the criminal-minded, basically, in order to use the power of coercion to get things that they could never get on their own merit. Period, full stop, is nothing but graft. It's a giant con game, and it's a giant scheme. And what I want to know, Steve, is I want to know why these progressives hate people so much but love cars. I want to know why these progressives just get down on their knees and worship the American automobile at the expense of the American citizen. Because if it's coming to talk about time to talk about taking care of my car, I can go out and find literally hundreds of people who are competing for my money, and they're going to offer me so many choices and so many options, and I get to decide what I want, when I want it, how much I want it to cost. I'm required by law to have my car insured, but I get to decide what kind of insurance I want, how much I want to pay, and everything else. That's because these progressives love cars, but they hate people because as a person, I don't have any of those choices or any of those freedoms. I'm forced to abide by this ridiculous, tyrannical, nonsensical, expensive, stupid, worthless plan that they are putting a gun to my head and making me pay for because they don't give a damn about people, but they sure do seem to love cars. So why is it that my car gets a health care plan that is less expensive, much more choice, much more opportunities? I get to decide, but me as an actual living, breathing person at the subject to the will of these progressives have to deal with this kind of ridiculous, overpriced, enforced, coercive tyranny. Why do they hate people, and why do they love cars so much? I would like an answer to this question.
Well, Bill, are you still driving the Camaro?
Yes.
Oh, don't worry. They'll outlaw that soon enough.
They can pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
They'll have to. All right, folks, the co-ops, it's just the latest in a long list of Obamacare failures. In fact, the only real success Obamacare has enjoyed so far is that it's cost less than was initially forecast. But that's only because so few people have actually signed up for Obamacare coverage. On the off chance that that ever changes, yeah, Obamacare will become the budget-busting monster its opponents always said it would be. So the question is, what comes next? What comes after Obamacare? Well, that's where it gets ugly. That's the third part of our special report. But that,
and of course, what does come after Obamacare? And isn't it amazing at how far this has gone and how many people don't want it and yet are being forced into it? I think one of the interesting points to look at is, again, when we look at the markets to compare to the health insurance, we don't have the true real price discovery that we did have because we've got Obamacare. Where is my ability to go out and shop for what I think is better for me? When when did, in my lifetime, when did the government ever do anything that was in my best interest without having the graft and the collusion and the bullshit behind it, without sticking it to me, the middle-class American taxpayer? I think that when you look at the situation and you try to understand why these things happen the way they happen, I think it's quite simple that it has to do with power and money, and you've got people taking advantage of us without really giving us the freedom of choice. And I believe that in America, we sure supposed to have the freedom of choice. And I find it a little bit disturbing that we don't. I find it disturbing that we have gone from a true we the people, for the people, to we the government promise to stick it to the middle class and tell them we don't give a rat's ass. Now think about it for a minute, but look at what's going on today with Obamacare, with every other policy that they have created, with every other regulation that they have created. Where is there the, as I like to call, the price discovery model, the free and fair act of willing to, willing to go out and find what is actually best for you? Can we not see the mess that is being created? Have we not learned enough from Social Security, teachers' pensions, and all the other deficit spending that we get to do here? Yet we want to bring in another large program of garbage that, of course, does not have the individual benefits and the rights and the justice and liberty for all, but it's a way of saying, hey, screw you, you're going to do it the way we tell you to do it. And I think that that also becomes a bigger problem. But those are my thoughts. I'd love to hear what yours are. But out of all this and about everything that's going on, the things that we can still control is the ability to control our own portfolio as it sits. Manipulated or not, markets manipulated or not, we have the ability to control it. And that's why the Badger and myself have put together a hedging program to help you avoid the pitfalls and the losses that are going to come, because at some point, as we know, they will. And that's where I recommend you to take a look. Go to thebubbashow.org. Look at the two programs that we are offering. But I will tell you this, that we are getting rave reviews and people are understanding it and living through with and sleeping at night without worrying about what's going to happen to their portfolio when the next market collapse comes in. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go check out thebubbashow.org. We've got a lot of great articles. We've made a lot of dramatic sites to changes to the site. We're going to step out here for a break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
10 miles, 1,000 beers in 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And as we've been talking about all different types of things today, I wanted to talk and bring my friend in, Bill Whittle, and hear a little bit of the comment on Hillary Clinton. So let's get right to Mr. Bill Whittle right now. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Afterburner. I'm Bill Whittle. Well, surely the high point of the Democratic debate, if you're a progressive, and the low point, you know, if you're someone with any moral or ethical core whatsoever, was when aged socialist Bernie Sanders waved the imperial hand and said that the country was not interested in Hillary Clinton's damned emails. Hillary, as you can see, bears the same look that the far more personable Ebenezer Scrooge had the morning he woke up and realized there was still time to cook Tiny Tim's goose and save his own. Now, a few days later, CNN's Jake Tapper questioned the former Secretary of State about the latest in the ongoing revelations about felonious incompetence, graft, and mendacity, and this was her reaction.
I know Bernie Sanders said that, quote, the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails. But there are a lot of people who are not.
Well.
including FBI officials. looking into whether national security was compromised because of this server.
It's hilarious because it's treason and a felony. See how it works, though, for this thoroughly unpleasant, desperate, vain, and terrified felon asking such a question after being absolved from all wrongdoing by an identical moralizing Goldbricker was so far beyond imagining that a long, cackling, forced burst of stage laughter was the only possible response. See how it works? If political rival Bernie Sanders was ready to forgive her, what else do you rubes and hayseeds need? Now, you know, a year or two ago, I would have stood here and said it doesn't work that way here, that it didn't matter whether Bernie forgave her or not, or the president or anyone else for that matter. Actual statutes, you know, federal law, states that it's a felony to withhold official records regardless of their classification. And one of those statutes specifically states that either failure to turn them in or to conceal or withhold them in any way is not only a felony, it's a felony that specifically bars the offender from ever holding any office in the United States government for the rest of that offender's life. Now, a few years ago, I would have stood here and told you that things don't work that way because we're a nation of laws and not men. In other words, you know, got law? That was a few years ago. Since then, we've seen this president simply state that his Justice Department would not enforce laws that the president found distasteful to his imperial self. We've seen the IRS, the EPA, and the FBI fully weaponized against his political enemies. We've seen him simply move the date of Obamacare legislation by imperial whim to a time more opportune to cover the catastrophic failures of its implementation. We've seen him fritter away and waste what was once the power, the majesty, and the prestige of the office of the President of the United States of America by inserting it into, you know, convenience store robberies and science fair projects and not using it to prop up freedom in Iran or to draw an actual and not a pretend line in the sands of Syria or on the fields of the Ukraine, for that matter. We've heard him say on immigration and many other issues that sure would be nice if Congress gave him the legal authorization for his whims, but if they wouldn't, then he'd just use executive order and dictate the law just like any other tin pot dictator. So, let's just come out and state what we all know to be true. Hillary Clinton will either walk scot-free for treasonous graft and criminal incompetence, or she will be indicted and lose the nomination solely on the personal whim of Barack Hussein Obama and the merits of the deal that the Clintons can cut with His Majesty in order to save her skin. Everybody knows this is true. Everybody knows that justice, in the absence of a press corps, is now at the whim of this president, and the only reason she's being prosecuted in the first place is because it pleases Barack Obama to do so. You know, there's a credible story that she went to him in a rage and told him, quote, call off your f***ing dogs, Barack. I can remember a time when they weren't his f***ing dogs at all. I can remember when the f***ing dogs could not be called off because the FBI and the Justice Department were beholden to enforcing the law of the land and not the whims of the emperor. So, how does Barack Obama get away with the same kind of autocratic lawlessness that we fought a revolution against? Because he's black, that's why. Any other questions I can help you with? He is the ascended wet dream image of every progressive reporter and editor and publisher or any of these other idol-worshipping adolescent girls that make up what was once the proud profession of newspaperman, and he's walking kryptonite to spineless, gutless Republican cowards who would violate their oath of office and abandon their souls too, apparently, before being willing to be called a racist for daring to oppose this lawless, naked power grab. Like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama claims to be a champion of the poor. But the moment he realized he was secure in his lawless immunity, in other words, as soon as he was certain he could get away with pretty much anything he wanted, we see the difference between his actions and his words. If he wanted to help the poor, well, he would help the poor. But that's not what he does. He does what he wants to do, which is travel the world in the biggest, most luxurious private jet on the planet and golf every prestige course on planet Earth with the richest, whitest people that he can find. Hillary Clinton violated federal law by placing hundreds and hundreds of State Department emails on a private server. Why would she take such a risk? Well, as it turns out, private servers are not subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. That's why. And since she was a leading Democrat and therefore immune to annoying press investigations and therefore above the law, she thought that she could get away with it because her email records clearly show the money for influence, raw, naked graft, at the intersection of the State Department and the Clinton Foundation, where foreign powers make a multi-million dollar donation to the foundation and U.S. trade laws are quietly adjusted in their favor. And, of course, Bernie Sanders, who apparently has never worked 1 hour of his life in a job that was not paid for by taking money at gunpoint from people who generate actual wealth, well, he claims to be a Swedish socialist, but somebody who understands and is more than willing to enforce the idea that if you're going to take $93 from every $100 working people honestly make, you're going to need a little, you know, motivating coercion in order to get away with stealing that much from the makers and giving it to the takers. Of course, he can forgive Hillary her felony. She's cut from the same miserable cloth that he is. Hillary Clinton wrote, "It takes a village," because if it takes a village, then guess what? It also takes a village chief. Guess who she has in mind? You know, we fought a revolution not because of taxation, but because of taxation without representation. It was the sheer imperial lawlessness of it that forced our ancestors to take up arms against their own illegitimate government. And I'm beginning to wonder if we might not have just one more left within us, and I'm not alone.
And of course, we love the comments of Bill Whittle and his frankness to what he sees and how he views things. And I'm just thinking about, what are you thinking, and how do you view what Bill just went over? I think that he made some interesting points. I really have trouble myself understanding the love and adoration for Hillary Clinton by everybody who believes that she should be the nominee. I mean, you know, when you look back at her history and the things that she has done, I don't know, in my opinion, how much she's actually accomplished without bending or breaking, in some cases, the law. I think that we're seeing a country might be getting a little bit restless. I think that, you know, as I've mentioned many times in air, what we're seeing now was not what our founding fathers had as an intention to run this country. This is not why we went to war back in 1776. I mean, again, we have to realize how far we have strayed from what was intended to be the greatest country on earth. Now, we are still the greatest country on earth, but we've got issues. We've got issues that have to be dealt with. And I think it's time to stop the nonsense. I think it's time to stop the train and say, hey, look, let's rebuild what we know we have. We have a great foundation. We've been the biggest, the strongest, the best. And let's make sure that we stay there as the biggest, strongest, and the best, and get rid of all the crap and the nonsense and the bull that has certainly overtaken us with large government and too many idiots running the shop. Anyways, this has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as always, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.